big sound in a small town, far away from the big city lights, making music every night. Good music with all our friends. Tell everybody, tell your mama and them. We're going out and we're getting down. A big sound in a small town. A big sound in a small town. A big sound in a small town. A big sound in a small town.
Hi, and welcome to Big Sound Small Town. I'm your host, Sandy Carlton, and this is a podcast about the lives and stories of the musicians, writers, artists, and their associates that have their roots in the small towns and communities across America. If you like what you hear, tell somebody. Enjoy. Today, Big Sound Small Town is in the Earl Scruggs Center, and my guests are Darren and Brooke Aldridge. How are you guys?
Hi, we're doing great. Thank you so much for having us.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Been a long time coming.
It has. We've been working on this for a pretty good while, you know, and it's, you know, all good things come those wait. So here we are.
Just the right time, right moment, I guess.
I guess. Well, you know, during the pandemic, you guys stayed pretty busy. You stayed visual. Is that a better term? Because there was not a lot of work. So,
right.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, we were able to do a live stream. We called it our Sunday shut-in every Sunday night at 8 o'clock. And we still are going to try and do that when we're home and not busy now.
Oh, so that's something you're going to continue?
Yeah.
That's good.
I think so many people enjoyed it. And, you know, especially during the pandemic, having to be stuck at home. And I think it really helped a lot of people kind of feel better.
One of the things that worked so well for the podcast, it exploded for me personally during the pandemic because people had time to listen.
Yeah. Right. So, absolutely. So. More time at home. We developed a YouTube series called the Carolina Sessions.
We did. Yeah.
That we did. And
going to continue that too?
We are going to start that back up. We've got a lot of new people to interview and talk about. I thought was very interesting to try to get that done. And Brooke had me pressure washing more and staining the deck and doing projects at home we never got to do.
Yeah, so that was good.
She helped me all the way.
But we got to do a lot of songwriting while we were off the road as well. And we've always wrote, but just not had a lot of time to do a lot of it. So we feel like we got to do a lot
more. It's hard to do when you're on the road as much as you guys are.
Right. Yeah.
Plus, I saw you guys got time in on the lake and time in on the golf course.
Oh, right.
So it wasn't all work during
the
summer.
That's right. It was a good time to be as bad as it was last year. We enjoyed it. And it took me a couple months to get used to that schedule.
Oh, I'm sure it did.
Because being traveling since I was 17, 18 years old and being stuck at home and not riding, not going somewhere was a little bit to get used to, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's hard to live with there for a little while, wasn't it? But,
I don't know about that, but
I'd go out and drive, you know, every day out in the country and everything by myself for
plus we got to see your guitar collection.
Yeah, yep. I got to do a lot of videos with my guitar. So
yeah,
that was fun.
Which is that's a techie thing. I'm sure a lot of my listeners are saying, yeah, it's a guitar. I've seen a guitar, but actually, there's a lot of musicians, so they really appreciate that.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen it, look it up. He's got some really cool instruments.
I got to put strings on several that hadn't had new strings on in a long time.
Oh, yeah, I guess stuff that you're not taking out just sits there. So, yeah. Well, okay, so when the pandemic was over, you guys just came out just rolling, didn't you?
Yeah, we had been talking to some folks. Some of the shows from last year rolled over to this year.
Right.
And then, of course, we've got some other stuff coming up in 2022 that rolled over as well. But, we can't complain. We're just glad to see a schedule that's getting busy and full
busier.
Again. Yeah,
sure is.
Did that, you know, one of the things that booking agents, I'm not really sure how well they fared during the pandemic.
It was hard for a lot of them.
Yeah.
We have a lot of friends, of course, in the business and couple of them almost just had to shut down, you know.
I'm sure. I mean, that would be. I mean, everyone in the music industry hurt during that time.
Yeah.
So, during the pandemic, did you guys record a new project?
We did. We started on it in January. Again,
I think it was. Yeah, yeah.
January and February. Spent a couple of days out in Nashville, and then went back in February and finished up.
Mm-hmm. So just about as soon as you could get out and get there.
When things started relaxing a little bit and folks had some vaccines. But I remember the first time in the studio, we all did wear masks and social distance and stuff.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. How is that different than in times past? I mean, was that difficult to do?
It might have been a little hotter.
Yeah.
But other than that, not really.
I mean, you didn't have to sing.
We all had, we all was in, you know, isolated booths and stuff, except for me and Brian Sutton was in the same room, but we was in a pretty large, you know, main room of a studio.
Yeah, they were socially distanced.
So it was all good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. And then I guess with each time you've been now, it's I guess you're full up just like we are right now today.
Right. Yeah. It's been relaxed over there. When we got to do the singing with the Oak Ridge Boys, which was a treat, everybody at that time didn't have to wear any mask or anything. We'd all been vaccinated, you know. So
I was going to ask you about that, about singing with the Oak Ridge Boys. And I didn't know. I was one of the things. Were they masked up? It would be funny to see them in mask, I think.
Yeah. We saw them one time last year, maybe before Christmas, when we was doing the Opry show for the Bluegrass Nights.
Right.
And they was doing a show at the Opryland Hotel. Mm-hmm. And got to see a couple of them then. And they wore masks then.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, that would be. I was just curious. I mean, that's not something you ever think about. Because they're such, they're really visual.
Oh, yeah. Seeing that on William Lee Golden was a treat.
I bet it was, yeah. So that was one of the things. So was that pretty cool to have them sing with you guys?
It was.
Absolutely. They've been big cheerleaders and, supported us through what we've done, and that's been really sweet.
We got to meet them, 4 years ago, the first time?
Yeah, with Jimmy Fortune.
He was on the country music cruise with Jimmy Fortune.
Yeah.
And got to see those guys and be around them and heard us sing. And Joe, he's a fantastic person and a good people person.
Yeah.
Joe would be. All of them are very nice and we know them all. But Joe, he calls us a lot and texts back and forth with Brooke. And he's been a real, like she said, a good cheerleader.
Mm-hmm. Plus the Jimmy Fortune connection has been there for a while, though, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
I mean, that's not just new with the whole Oak Ridge Boys. I mean, you guys have been working with and knowing him a while now.
I first met Jimmy back when IBMA was still in Nashville.
Yeah.
And he was over there doing something with Daly and Vincent, and he was walking around in the trade show. And I recognized him and talked to him and told him what a fan I was of his singing and songwriting. And then later on, we cut one of his songs that him and Becky Bullard wrote.
Right.
And he met us down at Georgia, I guess it
Jekyll
was,
Island.
Down there, and wanted to hear us sing the song. Yeah, and he was tickled, and we just struck up a more friendship after that and started singing a few things when we was together here and there. And then he called and said, I've got about 6 or 7 dates I'd love to add you guys on if y'all wanted to sing together and kind of co-build and do some shows. And one thing led to another, and it was awesome for both of us.
Definitely.
And got to do the cruises with him, and we do a Shriners show every year in our hometown of Cherville,
right?
And that's a fun thing to do. Mm-hmm. Jimmy always loves to give back, and the Shriners helped his oldest and first child when he was born, so he has a deep connection and love for the Shriners.
So he came down and did that.
Yep.
Yeah, and then he invited us out to come and do a Country's Family Reunion.
Mm-hmm.
That was a show where older artists brought in younger artists, new and upcoming artists, and he chose us.
Oh, he chose you guys.
Yeah.
That is really cool.
It definitely was.
Special for us.
Yeah, I can see where it is. Well, since we're on the project, let's talk about it. Looks like some pretty heavy hitters on it.
The new project is, we've written 5 songs and then pulled from some of our favorite writers,
mm-hmm.
like Jimmy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Oak Ridge Boys, the song that they sang with us was a Jimmy Fortune song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then a favorite of mine for a long time has been a Guy Clark tune called Die Tryin'.
I saw that on there, and it's, with the timing of stuff with Guy, it's probably a pretty good time to have that on there.
Yeah.
It's a great song. It's a great way. I love the way you guys do it. It's a real tribute,
Thank you much. I learned the song from John Randall. He recorded a project with John Jorgensen.
Yeah. And, I'm going to ask you about that, too.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And I got to fill in, a good bit with the band for John. And that was one of the songs that they had recorded. And I learned the part, learned to sing it, and told Brooke. Actually, she said, that's a great song for you.
Yeah, just fit your voice well.
So we wanted to record it in the bluegrass world as well.
Yeah, I really like that. I thought that was really, really a good part of it. Now, you've had a single off of that record.
Mm-hmm.
Great job.
Thank you.
It's a beautiful song. I can see why you chose that song for the first one off of it. I mean, it's just a it's a fine song, and it's, you know, the performance is really great.
Well, thank you. It's a good radio song.
It is a good radio song.
You know, and that's why we went with that one. But Brooke was singing this tune when we first met about 14 years ago now.
Really?
Yeah.
So you've had that kind of stored away that long?
Yeah. And then when Darren and I met with a band that I was playing with back home in Avery County, we were playing at Tweetsie, and we played that song with Darren, and he liked it a lot. You know, he had heard the Whites do it,
right,
and originally cut it, but it was just a slower country version.
Right.
And so when we decided to put it on this album, I was like, we've got to do a little, you know, grass it up
something
a little bit.
Something different, yeah.
So we kind of came up with the arrangement of what we got, and a lot of people have really taken to it. Bluegrass Radio loves it.
Yeah, they do. It's a really good song.
Yeah.
See, that's really neat to know that's been sitting there that long.
Well, yeah, we had just forgotten about it.
Yeah.
You know, there's so
many
songs.
We talked about doing that song, actually going over to Nashville the night before we was in the studio.
That's when it came back to mind, you know.
So that actually, you didn't go out there with that totally on your mind.
No.
When we got to Mark's house, we stay with our friend and producer, you know, Mark Fain. And
we just
wrote the chart out that night when we got over there, you know. Hit it the next morning.
That's pretty cool. I mean, you know, that's the beauty of music, how that happens sometimes. Let's hit the Tweetsie connection.
Okay.
You played at Tweetsie, right?
I sure did.
Did you?
I played in 97. I think it was.
Tweetsie.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
Yeah. So that is a connection.
Yeah.
Something not many people even know about or get to do. I don't think it's the top thing any of us check off that we've done in our life, but
it was fun.
It was a great experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There've been a lot of great musicians.
Oh, they have.
You know, play up there.
It,
the time we both probably played, did you play about every day?
Yeah.
But when Brooke come along, this was years later, that would have been 2006. Something like
2005
that.
And
they
6.
Alternated and just played like a Saturday.
Oh.
And then played the next Sunday.
Oh.
And they only played one or two shows in the day, right? Or maybe three.
It was like three.
Three.
Yeah. A lot easier.
Yeah.
When we was there, we did six shows a day.
Wasn't as busy.
6 days a week.
And not only that, I had a buddy who was one of the Indians.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'd go on with him and get on the back of his horse and be Indian too.
Oh, that's great.
But I didn't get any extra money. That is something not many people, I'm sure not a lot of people know about that know you guys. It's a good learning experience.
It was, man. I got to play with some very good musicians at the time. Big
too.
Al Johnson was playing fiddle and some guitar, and Jason and Charlie Burleson was there. And man, we sat. If you wasn't doing a show, you know, we most of the time we was in the back room learning tunes and spinning off from each other. It was a good time.
Yeah, you learn a lot doing it.
In those days too, I was chasing a lot of can-can girls too.
Yeah, well, I was gonna leave that out. Yeah,
you probably was too.
Yeah, I probably was too. So it was a fun little job. And then I guess we also have you went to Appalachian.
I did, yeah.
I did, too.
Oh, okay. We have a lot in common, don't
we? Yeah,
we
do. More than you would think. Just, of course, I played a lot of music when I was there. Well, a lot of it being the Tweetsie job.
Yeah.
So what's the next release off the new record?
We're going to release a song called Once in a While. And it's hard to decide on which single to release next, but that one really fits us. It's a duet.
Yeah, it is.
And it's got some good words in it, some great vocals, we think. And just something different from the first single, you know.
It is different than the first one. Do you guys just basically choose what you want to do, or you have some help with this?
We have a large, I guess, family of... In our network for Darren and Brooke, we've got a manager that's in, and our agent has not as much say-so on the records and stuff, but he's part of the team, you know.
Right.
And then our record company there, an A&R person, publicist, everybody's got to weigh in just a little bit. So, but we all, it's a good thing that everybody had a different choice to start with.
Right.
That might mean we've got several good songs.
Yeah, I think there are.
So, and then we, you know, narrowed it down to what would be best for now. But long, good thing about that, so I guess we can extend the album for at least a year and a half or more with a lot of singles.
That's the industry these days, single industry.
Yeah. Right.
And it does allow you to keep an album alive a long time,
right,
where if you drop 12 and people miss four of them, mm-hmm, just because, well, radio won't get behind
right
an album anymore. So
right,
I mean, when you drop them individually, then you get the a chance at 12 supports, 10
right
supports.
And a DJ is usually going to pick what they want to hear, you know.
True.
If you present the single first, it's kind of like more songs get heard, like true, you're saying.
Right.
Yeah.
I think so. So.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, radio, at least with the first one, has gotten behind it pretty well.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
So we've been thankful.
Yeah.
And the record company seems to be behind it too. So.
Yeah.
Which I've never understood why record companies don't get behind records after they, you know, you're on mm-hmm your label, but sometimes they don't. For a lot of reasons, but
right.
So you seem to have that going pretty well too.
We hope so. It's going good so far.
Well, Inner Journey was great too. I mean, that was really each one. I know you guys know it, but you know, each one just kept getting better. How many
thank
you have
you
now? Like nine.
This
nine
will be our ninth
yeah
one. Yeah.
So I mean, I did a little homework.
You're the man.
And listen to all of them. So, but you can see the progression.
Well, that's good. That's what me and Brooke set out to do. And I've always enjoyed that and learned from other artists down through the years. You know, you want to progress or do something different or, you know, take that ride with the artist
sure
as you do another album. So,
sure. I mean, the song. Well, and I guess, let's talk about Mark. How did Mark get in on the deal with you guys? Because things jumped. I don't mean any disrespect for anyone.
Yeah.
But when you guys started working with Mark,
right,
stuff just was just fabulous.
Yeah.
Thank you. We think so too.
Yeah, absolutely. He's just a great personal friend, and he's a class A session guy.
Yeah, he
you
is
know, and a producer for a long time, and mm-hmm, and we just started out, you know, being friends. We've met Mark with Ricky Skaggs for years, and but the closest time we got to him was at George Scheffler's funeral.
Oh, okay.
He came over to that. Me and Brooke were singing that day, and he met us in the back. And, you know, he hears everybody and all the time, all over
right
the world. And he was really come up and bragged on Brooke singing and the way that we had kind of played in the service. And, man, he said, just call me anytime y'all out in Nashville. And, you know, so we emailed back and forth. And we was out there one day and went by and visited, and the next thing you know, we was doing a couple sessions together. He and I was, and then I asked him if he'd record bass on a few tunes that we just sent over to him, and that was on the Faster and Further record,
yeah,
I believe. And then he talked to me about filling in Jorgensen's band, and we asked him to fill in a few times for us at the Opry.
Yeah.
And one thing led to another. It's like, man, won't you just help us, you know, with our next record? And that was Inner Journey.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's really taught me a lot about writing charts and, you know, being a little bit more in the studio, which is something I've always loved doing. And of course, I produced several of our records, Brooke and I did on our own, but Jerry Sally produced our first two.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to be the producer of your own stuff. That is.
Yeah.
That took me a murder.
It's tough,
hard,
but it's good to have another hand in there and another mind.
Yeah. True.
And me and Mark work very well together.
Plus, he gets the best bass jobs in the world.
He does, man. He's got a ton of great people to play with.
He does. And I sent him. I sent him. Wait, you're going out with Rye?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, and he just laughs about it. I mean, he's pretty humble.
He is very much so.
And you know, going out with Roseanne Cash.
Yeah.
And did the stuff with Rye. And Lyle Lovett. Just on and on.
And of course,
he picks
Ricky
with everybody.
For all those years,
yeah.
On
ton
Ricky
of years. Yeah,
yeah.
Bruce Hornsby.
Yeah,
he's been like I said, a class A session guy, you know,
yeah,
for years in Nashville. And it makes us feel very comfortable and tells us what we need to hear. You know, I mean, if we're doing something or need to do it this way, he's just professional all the way.
That's great. That's great. Well, it's good too to have that ear, that additional ear, you know, when, because now between the two of you guys, you have vast experience. So I don't know, you know, I think when you get to a point like that, it's really hard to find someone who can't aid you along because you've been doing it so long.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a sitting in ways things, but you know, I mean, you know, there's people that can help, and
sure,
you guys don't seem to have a problem utilizing that's available to you.
Well, thank you.
I think Darren and I have really, when we started out, you know, with any artist, I guess you're trying to find your sound and what
right.
makes you you.
Yeah.
And I feel like we've been able to do that since the beginning, and that's because we've had people, you know, who have helped us along the
true.
Way and who've given us great songs. And then, of course, the music we grew up listening to, you know, our parents playing records around the house and what, you know, inspired us as kids.
Right.
So, and that stuck with us, that we really did appreciate and want to, you know.
We had a vision early on the kind of artists we wanted to be.
Yeah.
Right.
And we've grown into that and kept growing.
So take us back to the beginning of the tour, y'all. I mean, did you know instantly that we'll skip the romantic part at this point. Did you know that it was a good music mix?
I did the first day. Yeah.
Did she?
I did. I mean, I knew that he had something special. I mean, he was an incredible musician, and getting to sing with him, you know, our voices just blended nicely together. And that could have been because our families were from the same area.
Because
people have asked us that before, you know, how we do our harmonies so well together. And we do. We feel like it's kind of like a regional thing, you know.
Yeah.
And just knowing the background where our families came from and growing up in church and learning how to sing. You know, in a choir or however, you know, just sitting around the house singing, you know, with our grandparents and our families on a Sunday. So I think it's been special that we had a lot of the same things in common.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a good vocal blend. I mean, sometimes you can have exceptional singers, but the vocal blend is just not there.
Right.
And it's a type of thing that you really can't force. I mean, it's almost either there or not.
Yeah.
I mean, you can
right.
sing with a lot of people, but that right perfect blend can be,
we was
it
lucky.
Can escape you sometimes.
You're right.
Lucky on that. I've always loved to sing harmony. And I guess for years that was my job,
yeah.
singing.
Yeah.
I did a lot of lead stuff too, but most of the time I was a harmony singer or a tenor singer. And working with the country gentleman,
were you
really
working with them
taught
when,
me that.
When you met her?
Charlie had died in late 2004, and Brooke and I didn't meet till
2005.
It was late 2005, mm-hmm. probably. So I'd just come off the road, and I was in the band with the Circuit Riders at that
yeah,
time,
I remember
with
you.
Some of the guys from the Country
yeah.
Gentlemen and Third
right.
Time Out. But working with Charlie really, really taught me how to sing behind a very good vocalist.
Yeah, he was very good.
And when I heard Brooke sing that day in the church, she had two other guys that were good musicians and good singers, but they wasn't near the vocalist she was.
Right.
And she overpowered the band, you know, completely in singing. And they just got me in to kind of play mandolin that day, and because they had a group and they had their harmonies. And
right.
I kind of nudged a buddy of ours, Corey, and I was like, man, let me sing with her on this next song.
Wow.
I was dying to sing
yeah,
with her, you know.
You were.
So, and from there, we just had an instant bond, you know.
Yeah. Well, I you know, it's, I figured one of the two of you knew right off the bat when you sang that it was the right thing. I mean, you know, so.
It was special for us, but a lot of people that heard us sing after that really talked about that.
Yeah.
And the connection that we had. And we started dating, you know, right after that, pretty quick. I had to chase her around for a little while, but you know how that goes.
I do.
But I'd take her to festivals with me when I was traveling with the Circuit Riders at the time, and we'd get her up to sing, and it would just instantly change the whole atmosphere
of
the
sure.
crowd and the stage and everything. You know, when we got to sing her, she opened that beautiful voice, you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And we just knew we needed to do something on our own.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, yeah, it's worked out well. It's a great decision.
We've been lucky, man. It's a hard business, and as you know,
the music business is,
and traveling, playing, recording, keeping it all together.
It is, and so many people, I mean, people are unaware, listeners, you know, they see the two of you, but they do not realize that there is, in your employee, so to speak, you know, probably a dozen people, you know? I mean, you have a band.
Yeah.
You have a booking agent, a publicist, I'm sure other people who are, you know, and that's an undertaking too. I mean, it's hard to do that and keep everybody happy and satisfied.
It is. That's more my role, I guess, in the band.
Yeah.
For everything, kind of the band leader.
Well, you've been keep driving all the bands that stuff. For the most part for your whole life.
So, yeah, you know, I sure have.
So.
And loved every minute of it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Don't we all just love every minute with bands? Okay. So, how surprised were you when you got the first award? I mean, were you surprised?
I was absolutely
surprised. Or did you
surprised.
Believe that you were going to get it?
No, not at all. I, you know, could have only ever dreamed that I might get it even once, you know, and... just to be recognized for doing something that I've loved my whole life, you know.
Right.
And my parents, you know, my parents, of course, your parents are always the first to believe in you and would always tell me, you know, you're going to be up there on that stage singing like that someday if we would go to concerts or anything when I was a young kid. And, you know, so big dreams, but to actually have it happen, yeah, I was very surprised and very overwhelmed.
So what's the difference between the first and the fourth?
Nothing. Not a thing. yeah, it just feels like the first time all over again.
That's great. I mean, it's great to hear you say that.
Yeah.
I think, third one I might like best, but I mean, it's all.
Yeah, I don't take it for granted at all because
it has been
love.
A shock.
Yeah.
Every time, you know, and she's up. Might be up for it again this year. I don't know that she will, you know, be nominated,
okay.
But the chances are she might be nominated.
True.
But, you know, you never know. Like last year, well, you've won it 3 years. We'd talked and said, you probably won't get it this year, you know, maybe. And she won again.
Have you not won it more than anyone?
No, I think Rhonda's won it more in general.
She's won it 5 times in a row.
Rhonda,
but won it 8 times
eight
altogether.
Times total, and then
Allison's won it 5 times.
Okay.
And Brooks, I guess, right in there third.
Yeah, I think, and possibly at plus at the time right now, you do have a song on the charts, which it is nominating time. I mean,
yeah.
So it's not like it's that's pretty wild. That's pretty well developed plan. I mean, to have a song on the charts when it's time to nominate. I'm sure you guys planned it that way. But that's great.
I knew the first time I'd heard her sing that day and we started getting together, I'd told her, you know, I've been around a little bit and heard a lot, but I knew, and I told her mom and dad early, it's before we got married, I said, if we keep going, she'll get nominated for female vocalist. I never said she'd win, but I said she just got to with a voice that strong.
I agree.
And the songs, you know, to sing. And I remember one time we was at an agent in Nashville. We was trying to get to sign us early on. And, you know, we hadn't been playing but a couple of years. But I've always dreamed high and pushed forward,
sure.
You know. And he didn't take us. And I remember telling him as we walked out the door that day, I said, you take another look at her because she'll be female vocalist of the year one day.
Yeah, he's probably... regretting that big
time. But that's just how persistent I am on our business and what we need to do.
I think you have to be persistent. I think that's the only way to ever reach your goals is be persistent, be thick-skinned. I mean,
that's the truth.
Because everybody in the music business has been turned down at something.
Absolutely. Sure is.
And that's why a lot of people were in it for a while and are gone. I mean, you know, it's It's hard. It's harder than what it's a hard, ugly business, really.
It is. Yeah.
The business part of it is.
Yeah, it's not for the weak at heart.
No, it's definitely not. No,
because
it's
it'll take a toll on you if you let it, you know.
Oh yeah, it will. And even when you know it's coming and know it's gonna happen, it still does.
Yeah.
I mean, it has a high ouch factor to it.
Yeah. You know?
It does.
So all right, let's move to the Grand Ole Opry. So first time, do you remember that?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Never forget it. It was July 4th in 2017. We got to debut with our good friend John Cowan.
And we're coming up on 4 years.
We are. That's hard to believe, isn't it?
And speaking of that, you're going to be there.
We're going to be there July 2nd and 3rd.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it'll be right at our 30th time, I guess.
Yeah.
Officially.
So
we've got to play it a few more times than that, but officially it's just Darren and Brooke. It'll be about 30 times.
30 times. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a lot. I did it once and I'm tickled to death.
So. Yeah, right. I know.
That's right. It's
once.
A great it's, feeling.
So are you guys going to become members?
Who knows?
But it would definitely be a dream of ours.
We'd love to. We'd love to be a part of the family. And they treat us like family now.
They have been so good to us. It's
30 times is, that's a lot of times. I mean.
It is.
You know, yeah. We appreciate the Opry a lot. Brooke and I have very good values and respect for it.
Well, actually, I saw you had the Opry band play on on the record.
New song we had written called The Grand Ole Circle.
Right.
And during the pandemic, we got to play the Opry quite a few times during that year. And I think a lot of it was because they wasn't having a lot of bands and they wasn't having a lot of guests. And Brooke and I were married. And we'd been there in the last 3 years. And so that was good that we could set in with the house band and just the two of us play.
Yeah.
And we got to represent Bluegrass Night for 75 years of bluegrass, so that was very cool. But we've got to do that with the house band several times over the last 4 years, playing classic country nights at the Ryman or just there, and we thought it was very fitting to add them in on that song.
I think that's good.
Tommy White played steel, and Kerry Marks was on guitar, and Randy Hart was playing piano, and our old buddy Eddie Bears was playing the drums, and Eddie's recorded with everybody.
Eddie has recorded with everybody. Every kind of music, too.
Absolutely.
I mean,
it was an honor to have those guys on that song with us.
I can see where it would be. And so that actually all worked good there. and you are going back for the fourth week.
Yeah.
So
we love being there, and they've been so good to us, but we, like we said, we have a lot of respect for the Opry House, the players, the past members, and just love carrying on that tradition.
Yeah, there's nothing like stepping in that wooden circle and just thinking about everybody that stood there before you and then all the folks that still stand there today. You know, it's just, it's really surreal. And
were you guys nervous the first time?
Oh, my, yes. You know, I have a story about that.
Though, I'm sure. Oh, I shared a story.
Well, I had, Eddie Stubbs this was before he had retired. Right. And thank goodness, I just love the fact that he was there that night because, you know, he's been a big voice on WSM. Right. And, he was in bluegrass music before that. So we just have such a respect for him. And somehow, I don't know how, but I got away from the band and everybody else. I was just kind of preparing my mind and thinking, and I was watching the other group that was on before us and just trying to, just take it all in for a minute. And Eddie came up beside of me, and only in Eddie's way that he can say it, you know, he said, "Now, Brooke," he said, "Are you ready to step out there on that stage?" And I said, "Yeah, I think so." And he said, "Well, are you nervous?" And I was shaking in my knees, but I didn't want to tell him that, you know. And I said, "Well, I'm okay right now." You know, I said, "I'm just trying to get myself prepared here." And he said, "If you're not nervous," he said, "you don't deserve to be out there."
Yeah, that's great. That's
and
good.
I thought, yeah.
Plus, he had that Eddie Stubbs voice.
Exactly. Right. I wish I could talk like that.
Yeah. Everybody wishes they could talk like that. I mean, so that is really cool.
Yeah.
So you were nervous enough.
Absolutely, yeah.
You weren't, though, were you?
Just a little bit to have those jitters, you know, that you're getting to do something like that.
Yeah.
But I tried to be and learn this at a younger age when I was, like, with Charlie and stuff. If you've got a good unit, that's tight in your band, and you rely on everybody else that's in there, and you know that you can do your part.
Right.
That's when you really perform well.
It is. I mean, this is the preparation that goes into it.
That's the thing.
Then you can let it go.
You know, Doyle Lawson told me a long time ago, going out with some different things, you know, when I was traveling with Charlie and with them a lot, I heard him say to his band before they was like maybe doing a country type of Southern gospel thing, and they was kind of nervous. Oh, man, are we going to go over well? And Doyle told them, well, sure you are, because what we're doing is real.
Yeah.
It's real from us. It's what we believe in, and how could we go wrong?
Right.
And that really stuck with me a long time ago, and I've always pushed Brooke for that.
Yeah,
you know,
I think that's right.
And getting going, you know.
I think preparation allows your self-confidence to be high, because you've done it a lot of times. You know what you're doing. It's not like you're doing, and you've done it recently too. I mean, you don't go out there and sing a song that you have not sang before tonight. I mean,
right.
I mean, you're doing something that's been well rehearsed, which takes the pressure off a bit.
Right.
Where you can almost enjoy the moment.
Sure.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of good moments there.
Yeah, definitely.
The difference between the 30th and the 1st.
Once again, not a thing. Not for me anyway. I mean, it's just so amazing to step out there every time. Yeah. So.
That's great. That's really great.
All right.
So how did you wind up with Charlie to begin with?
Man, it was right after Tweetsie that year.
Yeah.
You know, I'd played around the area here in Cleveland County with a lot of different bands and some great bands.
Yeah, you did.
You know, Dr. Bobby Jones was a big influence and a help to me in the local scene here. And, of course, hooking up with Bigger Staff and Mike Lynch and that band. That was a great learning experience.
Yes.
And then joining in with the McMurray Boys with Acoustic Syndicate in 96, you know, was taught me a whole lot. So I had a variety of music that I was trying to soak in and learn to play. And I would go everywhere. Anybody called to fill in on just about any instrument at the time. And I spent quite a bit of time around Nashville playing at some, like the awards show for Spigma and the band competition that was there. And me and Bigger Staff was out there, I know 2 years ago, Eddie Bigger Staff, that is, for everybody listening.
Oh, yeah.
But with a couple of local guys that was from around here. Roger Holland, I know, went 1 year, but seems like some folks went from Lincoln and Burke County with us. And the Country Gentleman was out there that day playing, and they had heard me sing and play mandolin in the band competition. So Greg Corbett and Matt and Ronnie come over and talk to me after we played, and he said, man, you sure did sing and play good and fit. Can we get a card from you? And I said, sure thing. And Eddie knew the guys. He knew Matthew Allred was playing in the band at that time, and I think Matthew was going to leave a little bit after that. And they'd call me about a year or so after and asked me if I'd come down to try out. And I went down toward Troy, North Carolina, a place called Eliezer, and tried out with them on the bus after the show they played, because their mandolin player was fixing to leave.
And
so
got
it was
the job,
just one thing right after another. Yeah, I tried to prep with some albums and some CDs because I wanted to get familiar with them as I could.
Right.
But Charlie just asked me about 4 songs to play. If I could sing Waltz of the Angels, we might have did Rebel Soldier and maybe a Little Bessie, and he wanted to hear me play Rawhide on the mandolin.
Yeah.
And after that, he said, well, we're going to play in Warrington in about 2 weeks. Handed me a stack full of CDs. He said, learn all these. He said, we know them already.
And I, obviously you learned them.
I was with Charlie about 6 years.
That's pretty cool. I mean, I guess that upped it all a notch then, didn't it?
It did. So. It just, you know, took things to a, you know, I guess on that more professional level that he was playing, because he was one of the legends in bluegrass music for sure. I got to travel the country with him. And first probably tour bus rides and stuff that I got to do for those 5 or 6 years, and play all the top festivals and, everything like that, yeah. You know?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. This is funny too. I think I've seen you playing saxophone, which is really weird. that people probably don't realize. Did I not see you playing sax?
I played sax with the syndicate a couple
yes,
times.
Yes, I thought so. Which sure is something did. That, you know, everybody thinks about Darren being a bluegrass guy.
Yeah.
But actually, your music goes back past bluegrass too. I mean, it goes to you've taught forever. I mean, you have taught.
You can say that now. That's
half
right.
Half of the people who are musicians around here at some point took lessons from you.
Yeah.
And
some of them come up to me now that I don't remember because they took when they was in junior high or,
right.
You know, their kids, and then they're 20 and 30 now or something like that. And they say, man, I took guitar from you, but they look so different.
Right.
You know, but I'm glad. I don't know how many I've taught in the last 24, 25 years, but
right.
At one time I kept about 60 a week.
Yeah, you had a bunch there for a long time.
And since I've been married and slowed down, I keep about 15.
Big difference. There is a big
But
difference.
I've loved every minute of it, and I learn something every time I teach somebody else something.
Well, you know, I mean, you were playing non-bluegrass stuff. You actually, were you in a high school band?
I was. I started probably first instrument playing piano when I was 6 or 7 years old. And my mom's a great piano player, but she put me in piano lessons then. And, you know, I started slowly learning to play the guitar, chords on the guitars that she had taught me. And, you know, my brother was 4 years older than me, and his buddies loved, you know, the hair bands and stuff, rock music.
Yeah.
So I was hearing that out of my left ear, you know, with Van Halen and Bon Jovi and those type of bands. And in the right ear, I was listening to Ricky Skaggs and Emmylou Harris.
Yeah.
And I learned to play the guitar, and I loved singing. Mama would sing all the time, and I liked to hear her sing harmony. And I wanted to learn to play the guitar or the piano so I could do that and accompany myself singing.
Right.
And so I just learned a variety of things, and I picked up on electric guitar from some of my brother's buddies, playing in their little jam bands downstairs, and they'd come over and be playing some, you know, Van Halen licks, and I'd listen to him play it and learn a power chord and a lead break, and then I'd get his tape deck down and figure it out for myself. And then I'd kind of pick along with them. The next week they'd come, and then I'd start to teach them how to play it because I guess I'd studied it, you know, a little bit longer. But when I was able to get in band, I think in the 7th grade, I wanted to play saxophone. I loved that sound.
Yeah.
And learned to read music better. And that taught me a great foundation. So I was in the high school and junior high band from 7th through 12th grade year and played all county and played saxophone and soprano sax my last 2 years.
Well, see, that's the type of thing that bluegrass players don't normally have. You
know? Yeah. You know what I mean? Man, being in that band and learning to read music has helped me so much for recording and reading charts and putting stuff together.
Yeah.
That foundation's been huge, and it helped me to teach music instruments all this year and writing out music or tab. But with the Syndicate Boys, you know, that's another something I'm thankful for because it gave me a foundation of taking somebody that was 16, 17 years old and had been in this box playing mandolin, and then they put me in about 3 other boxes to learn to play.
Right.
And sometimes a lot of it was off the cuff or just playing, and I had to get out there and swim or sink.
That's kind of the way they are.
Yeah, and I loved it. You know, it took me a while to catch on, but, you know, Steve and Brian and Fitz and the boys really was a shot in the arm I needed.
Yeah.
And then they found out I could play sax, and, of course, anything's open with them. It's like, man, bring you sax and play it on a few tunes.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, it's all jazz. So it was so fun.
Yeah, it is. Now, in your case, all you've done is sing. If you got a voice how old were you when you really knew you had a good voice?
Oh, goodness. I probably started to really understand and appreciate it a little bit more when I was probably about 12.
Really?
But I mean, I've been singing since I could talk. You know, my parents saw something in me at an early age, and I could remember words really easy to songs. Just after hearing it one time, I knew most of the words, you know. So,
and that's leaving us now.
Oh, yeah, I understand that.
I have to help him now. So.
Yes, I do understand that. Chris knows, I just had an incident with words.
Yeah.
To my own stuff. So, you know, yeah.
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 But I mean, they would take me to singing competitions and things like that as a kid. And I grew up singing in church with my mom and my sisters. And then on Sundays, we would go to my mama and papa's house and just sit around and sing a cappella. You know, my grandma could play guitar a little bit, and she would kind of frail and just, you know, do whatever just to be funny. But I never really took an instrument seriously. I played piano and took a little bit of fiddle. My parents bought me a fiddle when I was young. But it wasn't really until I was probably about 15 that a good friend of mine from church, he told me that I should be singing bluegrass music. He said, "I just hear your voice for that." And he gave me some Rhonda Vincent CDs.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, I'd heard her before, but I guess I really hadn't paid attention. And when I started listening, you know, I was like, man, I really do like this kind of music. Good. So I came to appreciate that a lot more because I'd grew up singing Southern gospel and country music in these competitions that I would be in. So after that, it's kind of like the bug bit me, and that's really all it took. You know, the same guy that gave me the Rhonda Vincent CDs, we started a band, him and a good friend of mine. And we did that up until I met Darren, really, I guess in college is how old I was about that time. And like Darren said earlier, you know, we had a lot of the same goals and ambitions and knew that there was just something special between the two of us. And that's when Darren and Brooke started. And
yeah. And I guess harmony has always been a part of your life, right?
It has been. Yeah. I grew up in a church that just sang kind of like with the shape notes kind of thing.
Yeah, I know all about shape notes. Yeah.
And so, you know, that we would do that kind of thing. So I think that really had an early influence on me in the way I sang. And like my choir at my home church, I don't feel like they sing like any other choir. And maybe that's
because they shape notes.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah, it's just different.
It's a different harmony without a doubt.
Yeah. And so I'm very grateful for that. I tell them all the time when we go up there, we always have to sing at my home church still. And I'll tell them, you know, a lot of my influence came from there. So I'm thankful for that.
The best harmony singers a lot of times do have shape note backgrounds.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's it's just a great learning tool, really.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is no one learns anymore. I mean, to a degree, it's a dying art.
It is.
You're right.
Mary Beth should probably start a shape note program here.
That's not a bad idea.
You know, I thought about it because it is dying.
And I know Doyle Lawson, he talks a lot about doing shape note singing when he was younger too.
You can tell in his voice too.
Yeah. I mean,
you can't, and his band's harmonies are
top notch.
Okay. You guys got a lot of jobs lined up for 2021. Mm-hmm. Probably into 2022 already.
We do. We've got several things booked in the spring of 2022. So it's all of a sudden
back.
Floodgates went down. Yeah, we're going to be at Merle Fest this fall.
Yeah, I saw that. That's cool.
Rhythm and Roots up in Bristol is another festival.
Yeah, that's a good
one. The big
one
in Gettysburg is in August, I guess.
Yes.
We'll be here in town at the Don Gibson Theater for our CD release show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a couple shows with the Oak Ridge Boys.
That's cool.
A couple more with Jimmy Fortune.
Yeah.
Where else is... We're going to be at the Romp Festival for the first time out in Owensboro, where the Bluegrass Hall of Fame is.
Yeah.
I've been there.
And
they used to have IBMA there.
They did. Yep. That was the first place, wasn't it, man?
Yeah, it was.
So I hadn't seen the new Hall of Fame, so it'd be good to get out there and see that.
Mm-hmm.
And just got word that we're going to be on the country music cruise next year.
Oh, you're going back on that?
Yeah. So that'll be good. That'll be our second time. It's just Darren and Brooke. So. That's always a fun time. Hopefully things will stay under control and we can get out there and be able to do that again.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, that's really good. So, one other thing. Why don't you tell them about the Bomb Shelter?
All right, yeah. The Bomb Shelter and Cabin is a place over in Cherville that I guess has had music since the late 70s.
Yeah.
It's owned by Jack Bingham and his wife, Judy. It's throughout Judy's family for a long, long time. And I think it was a place that they practiced. Jack's band had a practice, and they have a lot of feeding down there, and a lot of good times were had. And then it just carried on into a couple jam sessions. And, man, there have been pickers from all over go over there for decades. And when I was just learning to play, you know, getting into the bluegrass scene, 15, 16 years old, in the band that we started with Harold Simpson, Straight and Narrow, was he went down there a lot, you know, and he said, man, you ought to come on down there and sit in since you're learning to play banjo a little more and guitar. And the Eddie Bigger staff was down there a lot, a great old legend from around here named Harold Murphy.
Yeah.
And those guys was just holding court, and I got to sit in with them. And Doug Rogers was there a lot.
Yeah,
Steve McMurray came over a lot and played. And Buddy Wright was living around here at that time. And, you know, it was just a great little bluegrass jam every week that I got to go to school on every Wednesday night.
That's really cool.
And sometimes they'd laugh at me because I'd bring a banjo and guitar. They said, Darren's coming in here double-barreled again. I'd play for an hour on one and then switch and play for another. And so since like 94, I've been going over there and picking most Wednesday nights.
You still go if you're home?
I went Wednesday night this past week and picking a lot. And I've learned a lot of tunes. It's kept me in shape
very good.
And it's I've got to introduce a lot of other folks to the place, and it's just like its own little paradise down there.
It is. What did you think the first time you saw it?
Oh, I didn't know what to think, honestly. I mean, I there was a couple things like that when I was growing up, like Jim and Jenny's. We didn't go very much. I didn't really go until I was a little bit older as a kid, but Jack's kind of reminded me of that.
Yeah.
And just all the folks that would go and kind of gather and tell stories and, you know, just play music and have a good time just being together.
Absolutely.
It's a great hangout,
Sure. There's so much history there. I mean, Jack has done a really good job of, like, there's, like, stuff on the walls. And, like, anybody that goes to the bomb shelter gets to sign the ceiling or the walls wherever there's space at this point.
The cabin's kind of its own museum.
Yeah,
sort of.
Definitely. Yeah. So I enjoyed getting to do that.
And it is one of the coolest things that around here, really, that survived a long time and still.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get Jack to do the podcast.
Yeah.
Because Jack would have a great story.
He sure would.
He's just, it's just getting him to do it.
Yeah.
You know, my best.
I'll help you with that.
Do, please do, because I've gone through his wife because she's a little easier, you know. So, yeah, do it. Do.
I will.
That because it's an entertaining story and one worthy of its own story.
Absolutely.
That's exactly right.
So what do we look for the rest of the year out of you guys?
Well, just the release of this new record and hitting the road really hard and playing with our new band that we've put together here in this last year, and excited for that. And hopefully be back on the Opry this fall again. And just going forward.
That's great.
Keeping one step ahead all the time if we can.
Well, you guys have been fabulous guests. Great stories.
Thank you.
And I appreciate you. We've been trying to do this for a while, in case our listeners do not know, but it's been worth the wait. It's been wonderful. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure talking to you.
All right.
Yes.
Thank you.